I couldn't end the month of love without talking about one of the most exciting, confusing, frustrating, and inspiring topics in the world. Love. Yes, love is all those things, but at the same time, it's one of those words that have different meanings to different people, and that's what we're talking about today. My love, welcome to the Fairly Bold podcast, where we explore the intersection between femininity and power. We talk about spiritual growth, leadership, business, and relationships, because there's a lot of mixed messages around us about how to be strong and powerful and empowered, but they don't necessarily represent you. Don't worry, you are not alone. My name is Eugenia, but you can call me E. If you haven't, please subscribe and rate this podcast. It means the world to me, at no cost to you. I feel like win-win, right? And of course, you can always find me on Instagram at eugenia.wu. That's eugenia.woo. And as always, the link is in the description below. So a few weeks ago, I said on Instagram that contrary to popular belief, you don't have to love others before loving yourself. So in that post, I said that it was about the definition of love and how we culturally see love versus how love can be so deep and what is intended to be. So I got so many DMs talking about it. A lot of people were confused or they simply disagreed with me, which, you know, I love a respectful disagreement. Most people or a lot of people were saying that you needed to be healthy and have self-esteem before caring for another person's needs. And this is kind of the put your oxygen mask first before helping the other person next to you type of thing. And I get it. I get what it comes from. And it is true to some extent. And as someone who has fought mental health battles for years, I understand the importance of being at peace with yourself before jumping into a relationship or taking on deeper commitments. I understand that part and I don't want to ignore that or maybe make you feel or make you believe that I don't care. I understand because I have been there and I am currently there. However, true love goes beyond the positive feelings we have towards the person next to us or about ourselves. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And when I say that, I understand, I want to give you a little bit of background about my story with this topic. So in 2019, my heart was shattered into a million pieces. And I might talk about it at some point, but at that moment, I knew that it was time to pay attention to many issues that I had been ignoring for years, you know, trying to be superwoman, trying affirmations, all that jazz, right? And I wish that I could tell you that I had a story of miraculous healing. All my problems went away because of my relationship with Jesus, but that's not the case. It was, and it continues to be a battle. In that moment, every day felt like a battle of anxiety, depression, and I had to start facing trauma to start healing. But in the midst of that pain, I made a choice. I was not going to close myself up to love. And I remember making that choice in my bathroom floor, crying, because even though I didn't see how I was gonna get out of that situation where I was emotionally and mentally, I knew that love existed and was possible. And I knew that I wanted to love other people, even if at the moment it felt unreal. And even though I decided that I was gonna show up and I was going to be open to love, I still had compassion for where I was. And I showed up to the best I could on that season. I showed up to the best of my abilities. I did hide. I have to say I got away from people, not because of them, but because to me it was too hard to even face casual conversations. Like small talk felt incredibly challenging. So my 100% back then definitely didn't look like my 100% now. That's number one. And I hope that my 100% now doesn't look like my 100% in a couple of years. But I'm so glad that I didn't wait until fully, quote unquote, loving myself before letting love into my life. Because that year, I met my husband. I grew closer to so many friends. And truly, I chose to love with what I had in that moment. I found beautiful people along the way that were willing to be patient and love me back in my journey, and they were super accepting of where I was. So if you're facing a struggle right now, I don't want you to feel pressured to do more. Sometimes just getting out of bed is enough, and I wish I had you in front of me. I get it. Sometimes getting in the shower is a huge struggle, and that is a win, and that is okay. So this episode is not meant to put pressure on you to perform better for others. For me, it looked at that time that it was really hard for me. It looked like taking one step at a time. I chose to keep in mind that there is a world outside of my struggles that's also struggling with its own demons. It didn't feel like it. Truly, it felt like I was the center of the world and no one was struggling more than me. But I knew that there were people that also were struggling. So I had to keep that in mind. Sometimes a little bit of love I could give was all it took to make a difference on someone else. And I experienced that so many times in moments where I felt at my worst, people would be impacted for something I said or something I did, and they wouldn't even know what I was going through. And I'm not saying that I was so brave to go out, and I'm not talking about how strong I was. I'm just saying that I decided to love with where I was in that moment and the capacity that I had. And it didn't look as it looks now, but it looked to the best I could do at that moment. Even in the midst of my brokenness, I was able to find love, to receive love, to love others. I know you may be struggling with this idea. I know that it sounds different to what you've heard, so let's explore it further, okay? Before we start, I have to give credit to three people that have helped me a lot to articulate this topic the way I am doing it. A lot of what I'm saying, I read in their books and are just ideas that I took from them. I'm gonna mention who needs to be mentioned, but I just want to publicly thank them, even if they don't listen to it. I know one of them for sure won't listen to this, but I want to acknowledge their influence. And those three authors are C.S. Lewis, Tim Keller, and I'm going to leave the books that pertain to this matter down below so you can go check them out. And Alice Stuckey, she's a political commentator. She has some strong political opinions, but I just love the way she's able to articulate her ideas. She's a millennial, so I feel like the other two authors are great, but their language is not as relatable. And Ali, she's able to be relatable. She actually has a podcast named Relatable. And she's very digestible. So regardless of where you stand politically, when it comes to this topic of love and loving others, I just think that she does a great job at explaining her points. So first of all, I think that we have to make a huge distinction between like and love. Because I see, and this is probably not new. I think that it's just through social media, we see it a lot. But our culture defines love as a feeling. It's liking. And I hear podcasts and I hear so many experts that talk about love in a very emotional way. And while there is an emotional component, and we'll talk about it later, there's more to the story. When most Instagram accounts say love yourself, what they mean is like yourself. Be excited about your cellulite. Celebrate your flaws. Love your nose, whatever it is. And while yes, of course, self-esteem is important and mental health, as I said, should be a priority, it is not a prerequisite for loving the ones around us. And I did a whole episode on confidence and how that is not the most important or the deciding factor for success. So I want to encourage you to go listen to it. But love goes beyond just liking or being excited about someone. As Tim Keller said, it is a mistake to think that you must feel love to give it. Again, it sounds completely weird in 2021, but it is a truth, and hear me out. So C.S. Lewis is an incredible author. As I said, he wrote The Chronicles of Narnia, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that name correctly. I hope I am. He's also a Christian author, and he's written really great articles and books about Christianity, and he's a self-taught theologian, which I think makes him very relatable for the person who doesn't have a theological background. But C.S. Lewis wrote an amazing book about the four types of love. He identified these types of love based on the Bible, but there's a lot of the Greek language there, and Plato, back in his day, he also talked about these types of love plus other three types of love. I went through Plato's list, and I think that some of his words can be included in this list. So from everything I read, I like C.S. Lewis's list better. His book, as I said, Four Types of Love, is revealing, is beautiful, is challenging, and, you know, it's another must one for this topic. And he classifies four types of love. Pardon my Greek. I'm going to do my best with this pronunciation. The four types of love, and we're going to go deeper into each one, are Eros, Storge, Philia, and Agape. Eros, the first one, it is romantic love. It is sexual passion. It comes mostly from instinct. I've been married for a few months, so clearly there's a lot of Eros in our relationship. There's also Storge. This one is familiar love that happens between parents and children or childhood friends. It is rooted in memories, and it is an appreciation for that person. It is, you know, someone you haven't seen in 20 years, but you still hold dearly to your heart, and this is the Storge love. Then we have the Philia love. This is what we see in friendships. It is that intimacy without the romantic attraction. So it is without Eros. It is a very intimate relationship or feeling or situation where you know the other person and you are really passionate about that person, but there's no romance, there's no sexual attraction there. And finally, we have agape love, and this is selfless love. It is unconditional love. It is the highest level of love that we can offer because it is a decision to care for the well-being of the other person. All the other loves, and I'm not saying that they are bad types of love. They exist and they are beautiful, and we can go through all of them in different relationships, and they are great to feel, but they depend on emotion, on hormonal response. They depend on how much we have in common. Agape, however, is the only one that doesn't depend on having anything in common or having any type of stimulation to be acted upon. There is a super popular Bible verse that both Christians and non-Christians know, and it says that the greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. So for many, and myself included up to a couple of years ago, these meant a calling to love myself more. Because the love I gave to others, I thought, would be proportional to the love I gave myself. The problem is that this verse uses the word agape to talk about love. It doesn't talk about love in the Instagram way. It talks about love as agape. It is not a calling to love yourself more, but to care about your neighbor's well-being as much as you naturally take care of your own. Because agape love towards the self is natural. It is natural to seek our well-being. In his 250th Pensée, Blaise Pascal explains that all men seek happiness without exception. It is the motive of all actions of all men, even of those who contemplate suicide. And when I read this on Ali Stock's book, it was hard to read. It is uncomfortable, but it is true. Caring for our own well-being and trying to alleviate the pain we feel comes naturally. That's why people get addicted to substances, because they're trying to alleviate the pain. We naturally want to meet our needs. And this is a love that we've all heard from the Bible. Love your neighbor as yourself. It is not a calling to like ourselves more, or to do an extra bath with crystals or whatever. It is an invitation to look out for the well-being of others as we naturally do for ourselves. Again, this doesn't diminish the importance of mental health, but reminds us that there are others that might be suffering as much or even more than us. And that might lead you to question which one is the main one, right? Is this a scale? Do you graduate from one and move to the other one? Not at all. These love categories are very fluid. You can have different types of love in one relationship, or one relationship can morph from one to the other. For example, growing up, I had stored love for my brother, all the memories, everything that we went through. So I've always loved him because he's my brother, but now he's also my best friend. So I have philia love towards him too, because we have that intimacy. We have a lot in common and we have a close relationship filled with trust. And there's also people like my friend Caro. She and her husband Greg were best friends. So they had a beautiful philia type of love, you know, that intimacy without romantic and sexual attraction. But with time, they fell in Eros love. So they started a romantic relationship and they're beautifully married now, because now their philia intimacy had physical attraction, had the Eros. So you see how this can change, this can move from one place to the next. Every type of love is different and every type of love has its place. And yes, they can all be beautiful and exciting, but when they rest on agape love, they become something deep, challenging, and transformative. They become true biblical love. And whether you are a Christian or not, I guess you've probably heard, love your neighbor as yourself. So this is the greatest commandment of all, loving one another as in caring for one another. A mom can have storge love for her baby while also deciding to love him or her with agape love. So she loves the baby because it's her son, her daughter, but she also decides to be there for her. This means that she'll love him even when she's tired and she hasn't slept a lot. She'll care for that baby's need above her own. And I know this to be truth because this was the way my mom loved me and my brother. She, of course, loved us because we were her son and daughter, but she decided to put our well-being to the same degree of importance as her own. And I am extremely thankful that she did that. In my marriage, for example, we also have all types of love, but they all rest on agape love. I make the well-being of my husband a priority, even when I'm too tired to do the laundry for him because he hates doing the laundry. And the same is true for other people and other relationships in your life. You don't need to like the girl who sits next to you in the office in order to bring her soup after she has a surgery. With that being said, we need to talk about what love is not, because I know that if you're listening, you might have listened this far and you are like, oh, okay, cool, like, I'll just be open to anything in the name of love, right? Someone might say, E, are you saying that I should tolerate my boyfriend's abusive behavior in the name of love? Absolutely not. Love can coexist with boundaries. You don't need to forget your boundaries in order to love someone. You don't need to accept abuse, whether it is verbal, emotional, or physical, in order to love someone. That's the important part of understanding that this is not about liking or about being warm and affectionate towards someone. When you love, that doesn't mean that you have to ignore your own suffering. And I've said it a lot, and I think that's like a second topic of this podcast, because mental illness is real and we don't usually pay as much attention as we should because it doesn't give us the same physical symptoms that another type of illness. It doesn't give you physical pain, so it's easy to ignore it. But your mental health struggles, if you are struggling, are not your fault. Okay? You didn't make a choice. It may be where you are right now, but this is not who you are. So know that. Know that it might feel like this is your whole identity, but it is not. And if you're feeling like this imbalance or this struggle is everything that defines you, please go get help, because there is help, there is hope. And finally, love shouldn't make you stop taking showers for weeks because you have little kids who need you. Because being healthy will make you love others and show up for others better. But be careful. And this is a big caution sign, because self-care and self-love can be intoxicating. And one healthy action such as taking a break, taking time apart, which are very, very healthy, they can become intoxicating. One healthy action can turn into a self-centered life, a life where you never feel ready to show up for the one who needs it most because you are not there yet, because there's always a place to go, because you haven't grown enough, so you need to work more on yourself. Spoiler alert, we're never gonna be perfect. And this is something I'm gonna be talking about in the next couple of episodes, and I don't wanna get into it because I need like another half an hour to go into detail. But you are never going to feel done and ready because we are not perfect. Starting to focus too much on your own growth and your own self-love and self-acceptance and self-knowledge and self can lead you to stop paying attention to the pain around you because you're too full of your own pain. And this happened to me, so I'm not coming from a judgmental perspective. This happened to me. I was so involved and so into my own pain that I became numb to the pain that others were experiencing. No pain was as bad as mine. That's what I thought. And this is why you don't need to love yourself before loving others. Because when you decide to be led by agape love, your actions of love stop depending on emotion. And this is so liberating. They stop depending on how attracted we feel or how much we have in common with a specific person or how entertaining they are. Of course, if you want to go grab a coffee, you might as well like the person. But there's no need to like the person that you're going to go have coffee with if it's a person that you see that's struggling and just needs to talk to someone. You don't need to like them and they don't need to be your best friend. The way we love doesn't depend on ever-changing circumstances anymore. And I made a whole podcast on identity, and I encourage you to go listen to it because I talked a lot about it and about how we change so much. And love needs to be something more stable than that. There's people who've said that love is the force that moves the world. Where the force that moves the world, I doubt that it's something as unstable as our emotions or our preferences. And again, another resource I have for you is a podcast I did on boundaries. I talked with my friend Estefania. We talked about the importance of boundaries and making intentional time to rest and be away from the world. And also go listen to that podcast because it's very informative. And yes, there are times where retreat and solitude are the healthiest move you can make. But when you love, agape love, you don't stop loving because your emotions are imbalanced. This quote by C.S. Lewis is amazing. It says, "Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did." So you might be like, okay, cool. This sounds great in theory, but I don't understand. I know that I want to love in an agape way, but I just don't know what's the limit with my boundaries. And I'm so glad you asked because there are some practical steps you can take now to love others with deep agape love. And some of these steps, I'm going to give you three, which I think they're pretty easy to apply regardless of where you are in your journey. First, look out for the needs of someone close to you. I know it might seem countercultural, but explore how you can care about that person or about a specific group's needs as if they were your own. Second, try to understand others' perspectives as you naturally justify your own actions. Because we see our actions as someone righteous, and we have an excuse or an explanation for everything. But sometimes we can be extra judgmental with others. So give the other person the same compassion that you would give yourself with your own mistakes. Again, this doesn't mean that you shouldn't respect your boundaries or allow abuse. You can say, "I understand why you did that. I understand that you come from a home of abandonment. I understand everything, yet it's not okay. The abuse is not okay, and I'm going away, but I'm not going away with hate in my heart or feeling hurt. I am going away understanding that this is a boundary that needs to happen, but I have compassion for you in my heart." Because you can have compassion and still create space, but at least you don't do it from a place of anger or believing that you are better than. And the third action that you can take, and we talk a lot about injustices and disparities around us, and based on the electoral trends of 2020, that was the number one priority for Americans. Regardless of where you stand, this is a conversation. You know, what's the difference between inequity, inequality? Where's the line for justice? How can we support justice? Yet many times we're too busy thinking about ourselves to make an effort to love on those who need it most. I've read a lot of tips, quote unquote, on how to support minorities or correct some type of injustice. And it all says internalize it, talk about it, do the internal work. And yes, I think that if there's any prejudice in your life, you definitely need to work through it. But I also want to encourage you to move past it. I want to encourage you to take action. Who can you help? Where can you volunteer? What is a tangible action that you can take? Hey, as I said at the beginning, always take into consideration where you are. Maybe sharing a post right now about child trafficking is all you can do because you are not in a space where you are mentally ready to go volunteer at a center. And there might be many reasons for it, and it's not my place to tell you what to do, but I definitely want to encourage you to take a look at a cause that's near and dear to your heart. And yes, do the work that you have to, learn where you have to, but stop making it all about yourself and actually love on those who need it the most, those who have caught your attention, those who are under extreme circumstances, and those who would actually benefit from your actions of love. I love a quote by Alice Stuckey's book that says, "We are free to love people right now rather than waiting until we have positive feelings towards ourselves." And this is how I want to summarize this whole episode. Yes, it is important to love yourself in the self-esteem way, but you don't have to stop loving on others in the agape way until you like your nose or your butt cheeks or whatever it is. Okay, my love, this is everything for today. If you haven't, remember, please subscribe to the podcast, leave a review. It helps the show grow, and it would really mean the world if you shared it with a woman who's also trying to make sense of this crazy empowerment movement, a driven woman, a woman with big dreams, a woman who wants to leave the world a better place than what she found. Share it with her. That would help me tremendously. And as always, you can email me with any question, objection, or prayer request at hello@fairlybold.com. Thank you so much for your support. I see you soon. Take care.